Well, good evening. This is Nancy. I'm turning my volume up so that you can hear me very clearly. And I have my little bit of a music going. Sometime I should just do readings with this in the background. It's very lovely. If you go to nancymatz.com, Deconian Music. This is a gentleman and his wife who live in Idaho, been friends forever. And he created a couple pieces of music for me. And the second, this one here talks of the woman with the very black, dark hair, and who tells fortunes. So it's a wonderful tune. If you have a chance to get to the website, you can hear all of it, and I'm very grateful for the effort. So if any of you want music, that's the place to go. Wow, what exciting. I have actually got on time. I got a line, and I even got into the chat room, and Pisces Lady says, yeah, hello, girls. And we'll see how many people show up. Amazing number of downloads this last week, considering that I changed the hours from 9 o'clock my time to 8 o'clock so that it corresponds with your 8 o'clock. It kind of messed everybody up. The daylight savings, who can get used to that? California had it all figured out. Move here to Arizona, and we don't change times. So let's hope our audience has caught up a little bit. I want to give a little thanks to California Haunts. Last Wednesday, today's date is the 24th. 2003, I'm all wound up. I've been on the porch barefoot with binoculars in hand. We actually saw the satellite and the space station hooked up, the space station with the last launch. And they're all hooked up and they're getting another station built, extended out robot in outer space. And we actually saw it go over our house here in Sierra Vista, Arizona. We're at 4,400 elevation and we do have very clear skies. It is actually gorgeous. So my husband and I were bouncing out on the steps watching the satellite go overhead, amazingly clear. I tell you this, I was born in the wrong, I suspect we all say that. It would have been fun. It'd be fun if we could just wisp ourselves into the future 100 years. Perhaps I should teach a class on remote viewing sometime, and maybe we can focus and get to a place of seeing ourselves in the future. It's a very exciting art. I do tell people that I do what I anticipate to be called remote viewing, as well as psychic readings and mediumship. And I've been invited to go and join a group called the California Haunts, the 11th Friday, the 12th of April, 11th and 12th of April, to do a ghost busting. And before I go, I always remote view it. So I think that can apply to past, present, future visions. That's a sense of remote viewing. And that leads into what we were going to talk about tonight and psychic development. Of course, I do have a plan. I got onto Lock Talk Radio and I said, oh, I want to talk about this, this, and this, and this. Well, the best plans of mice and men often go straight. Isn't that the truth? So as I've been talking about things, and I always try to keep on track with what I would want to talk about, but you know, you ladies and gentlemen are the best guests. I've had more fun. And of course, I cannot see the chat room from where I'm sitting. I'm sitting in my big leather chair with my cushion under. Actually, it's a stool underneath my feet, and until I kind of sit a little closer to the screen, I'll kind of wait another 20 minutes before I start reading the question. So this topic of tonight was brought up by two, a gentleman, and then I got an email from a gal who said, you know, she's struggling to become psychic. I think there was another gal who, I think Jen had asked if she was ever going to be more intuitive, and as many times as I've taught classes, I've wanted to do more. Where I live, for health reasons, moved to an area that's not real populated. I joined up with a college here, and I got four or five people that wasn't quite enough to keep me going, teaching class after class after class. And that's why I wrote my first book, is to introduce the idea that things happen to everybody. And when I first started in this environment in 1990, I witnessed for the first time psychic readings. It was done through what I call psychometry. And that was my introduction to controlling the gift, not just psychic development. And Jen, I know you're probably listening tonight, the young lady who asked if she's ever going to be psychic. I think there's a couple others, and you've asked me, and then I got two emails, a gentleman and a gal, saying, oh, Nancy, you've got to do psychic development. And you have to appreciate, I only allow myself a half hour, and then you're allowed to call in. I can just keep talking if I have no calls, but I always encourage people to call in either for the psychic question or a developmental question, and kind of encapsulate it tonight. I think that everybody born has a gift, and during the years between 5 and 8, we start school, and those intuitive abilities seem to diminish. Now, how many times have you known the child is asleep in the other room and you get on the phone, you're very quiet, and the minute you start talking to a friend, the child wakes up. Or the dogs, you're in the other room doing something, they just have a sense. And how many times have you called me and said, you know, I just knew Grandpa would pass away, I had that feeling, you know someone was going to call. One time I was giving a lecture at East West Bookstore in Sacramento, and I entertained there for 9 years. I just love that business. So if you're located in Sacramento sometime, that's a wonderful bookstore, corner of Howell and Fair Oaks Boulevard. And I was always given classes, and one of the nights I gave a class, I said, with psychic development, and I said, now, listen, we all have a gift. I bet you there's people in here. I always preface it by saying, please don't raise your hand. I'm sure that the rest of us really don't want to know that you were cheated on, but how many of you kind of had a sense before you really found out that you had a partner that wasn't faithful? Well, this gal just raised her hand, and she says, hey, does that mean I'm psychic? And I go, well, I guess so. We all have the gift. And whatever, this is the key, whatever you're tuned into to the highest degree, you will have more intuitive abilities. The years before I got into this, I was raising children, and my husband and I were long-distance runners and horse people. We had horses. And through the years, I remember telling him once at an event, and this was, gosh, I must have been 31, 32 years old, I says, I just don't think that horse, not mine, but someone else's horse, I says, I think that horse is going to go lame. And everybody turned and looked at me, and everybody's like, right, you know, like, what is she reading, the footprints on the sand or something? Sure enough, the horse never finished. And the horse went lame. And I think that we all have that ability. We don't know what to call it. So my husband at that call time called it intuition, female intuition. But the point I was making is that my attention was on the animals because we were so involved. My intention was raise my children. And I have stories. I won't even say it on the air. Some things I knew. But it was like I was one up on them. Up on my kids, and it wasn't always a laughing matter, but it was also a very impactive manner because the kids kind of went, wow, you know, this is mom, she knows, you know. And earlier, this is my 11th show, I believe, and after, unfortunately, I went through cancer and then got divorced, and I was too ill to take my son with me, so he stayed with dad. And the night that I went with my girlfriend, Jenny Judd, in Auburn, California, went to Music Circus. Well, I needed to park my car so we could carpool. And she lived very close, I live very close to the hospital. And she says, well, we'll park in the, or I said, I can't remember, it doesn't really matter. One of us, I think it was me, because how would I know? Park in the emergency room parking lot way in the back, because at night it wouldn't be busy. And after I got home, there was a message saying that Derek, my son, had been in an accident and that he was in the hospital. And when I was told which one, I ended up going back to that emergency room parking lot, parked my car, and going in to see him. And that had only been like 4 hours earlier that I parked my car. I think that all of us have the gift. So my interest tonight for you is to okay the idea that each of us has the degree to a certain amount. Now, clearly, some of us can't sing, but we can hum a tune. So maybe we can say psychedelic comes in from the very smallest amount to the very largest amount. But I would pursue this one more time in saying that even those of you who feel you have no abilities, if I were to ask you your interest in life, say a fellow who's working on his car, and this is his dream, this is his baby, the car is everything he's ever wanted. Say it's a 66 Ford Mustang car. And I suspect that if I were to say somebody to that man, gee, you think you have psychic ability? Oh, absolutely not. But if I said, how's your car running? I imagine that man can tell you and be wary of that car could break down. He'll know exactly what's not knowing because he knows cars, but that feeling of it not working well. So it, and I'm basing this information I'm telling you on, is your point of reference. Once you declared your point of reference, what you're really good at, that is usually the place you should start to develop your psychic abilities. So if I said to you, I rode horses for 9 years, and I got to know those horses pretty well. So if I said, well, unfortunately, it was before I got into this, but I base it on that, I knew ahead of time if I was going to get a good ride or not. I knew ahead of time if there was going to be a problem. And I have to share with you that I have back problems because I was thrown off a few times. I always knew before I started on that ride it wasn't going to turn out a good one. And I just knew. So in your mind, after we hang up tonight or whatever, I want to give you a few more steps, is declare an area of interest. Each of us has an area of interest. Maybe that your area of interest is how you're going to find a parking place tomorrow if you live in a big city. Okay? So if that's your main concern first thing in the morning, I would ask on the way to the office, am I going to have an easy time finding a parking place or not? And you do that every day until you start trusting your hunches. Lesson number two, the hunches, the feelings that something is there for you to know. And it's that goosey bump feeling, the hair on the ends, hair on your neck standing upright, or is it an unqueasy feeling, an unsettled, queasy feeling in your stomach? However you define that hunch, that's what you look for. And there's another thing with that hunch. If you can relax long enough without going, oh, darn, and knocking that hunch away from you, if you can relax and breathe it in, every time you get a hunch, breathe it in and see if you can define what's being told to you. Lesson number three, allow it to become more. You get the hunch, you get the feeling, you get that, whoa, something's going on here. Can you relax well enough, long enough, to make it a 1 to 2 second quick, uh-oh, I get a hunch, I get a feeling, to possibly a 5 second, 10 second, or more? That's how you pull it in. You have to relax and allow it in. So I tell my people in classes, remember, I've given an awful lot of classes on this. I don't know how I can put it in a encapsulated half hour, but I'm giving you the bullets. How's that? When I started reading, I would get a quick hit. Remember, it wasn't my areas of expertise to read people. It was for animals and horses. We had rabbits and quail and all kinds of animals. And then my cohorts, my kids were number one, then the animals and the horses. And so I was actually very intuitive from the age of, from being born. Both my parents were gifted, and my father was exceptional. He talked to his dead father forever. He predicted his own death at 33, told my mother. And my last memory of him was, of course, to say, please don't go, we'll never see you again. And he was killed by a drunk driver within a couple of days. So clearly I had the gift from a very early age. But to learn to control it with what you get as a hunch first. So if I said to you the next step or bullet would be to relax, identify your area of expertise, rely on that. Say you're going to work and you read people, you understand people. So you go around and you just pause and you think of that person and see if you get hit. If possible, touch something. If you're doing the horses, touch the horse or the animal. If it's a child, touch your child. See if you can pick up something. You have to practice a lot. You have to trust your instincts. What is your first hit or hunch? Do it day after day until you get a pattern. The point I'm making here is don't do it every 10 seconds. You do it on command, because once you learn how to control that hunch, and you pause and breathe in more information, I guarantee you, if you do it every day, within a few short weeks, you've controlled the gift. And I've had people say, oh, I'm always sucking in or pulling in everybody's emotions and feelings around me. That's a terrible place to be. I was that way. In fact, I never hardly ever went to movies. Now I cannot, unless it's a lighthearted flick, chick flick or something. And the reason is that a movie with too much drama or too much scariness, Jurassic Park, I actually get physically sick. And the reason is that I cannot turn it off for very long. If I can go somewhere for a couple hours, I'm doing really good. Yes, it has been on my life. You've got to decide if you get into this, how far it's going to take you and what are you really going to do with it. See? So you have to decide if I want to become more intuitive, at to what level. Now, we're only talking psychic building, we're not talking mediumship. If you want to be a medium, you have to go to these steps I'm talking about first. And the reason is when I read somebody, I've been doing it almost every day since May 1990, so giving me a break here, I can do it often. I've learned that I don't want to read, I'm not. And through psychometry, attaching an object, I go to it, get my information, I pull back, and I'm done. That's how you conquer this gift, is that you control it. And you don't read everybody and say, oh, by the way, I'm reading this on you, would you like to know more about you? Don't interfere with someone's free will. You know, if you do that, then they can interfere with yours, and maybe you don't want that. So if someone walked up, someone did do this to me, by golly. I was doing some readings. I can't remember where it was, a big group. And someone afterwards says, hey, I'm a psychic. I can read you, Nancy. And they sported all kinds of things in front of everybody. I was there to entertain them. I didn't ask this person to entertain me. So you have to be careful. You have to be discreet. You know, you're listening to my show tonight. So I figure everybody that calls in is wanting an answer of something. And then all the girls are in the blog room. I see mostly ladies tonight. So mostly ladies. And I figured if you're writing on the blog or you're calling in, then you're mine. And I love to have the questions, and I encourage everybody. And if you, about 10 minutes, I'll encourage you if you want to call in and get your pencils out, and I'll read off the number for you to call in just in a few minutes. Or those who are in chat room, go ahead and type your question pretty quick. I do see that Karen is on here, and she's a lovely lady that I had on a few weeks ago talking about attachments. And it's a very exciting, amazing arena to walk into. And I'm going to, with her, start a new blog page, which I hardly have time to keep up with MySpace, but I will keep it up. And I'm going to try to spend more time, ladies, if you want the blog space, questions, answers, if you want to know more about me, absolutely. MySpace, I'm going to create one on IamHaunted.com. And the next one I'm going to do, and Karen and I are going to collaborate and get all kinds of things going on. So I will be in my third blog group, and it's called Facebook. And that one I'll be Medium Nancy Matz. And, of course, on Blog Talk Radio, I'm Psychic Nancy Matz. On MySpace, I believe I'm Nancy Matz Psychic or something like that. I'll put reference to all three of these blog sites on nancymatz.com. So we're just branching out and doing all kinds of things. And I'm using tarot cards to develop some size psychic gift. I was wondering if it was working. You know, I'm going to have to get to the answering those, but she made this person voice of reason. I particularly don't use it, but I use objects. I think that anything that you use, even if it was runes or a dowsing rod or a pendulum, whatever gives you the act of turning on and turning off. The reason I like tarot, and I have a couple of decks, I rarely use them, but I use them with a girlfriend named Carlotta. We set up until 11 or 12 o'clock at night some evenings just playing with them. And I particularly like the Voyager cards. They trigger questions in my mind for you. So if ever anybody wanted a tarot reading versus just a psychic or mediumship reading, of course I would do that for you, but I don't advertise that first. I love tarot because it gives you 50 positive and negative questions to be asked. And when you lay them down and that person picks them, that is what they want in that moment. Now, when you get a psychic reading from me or a mediumship reading, oh, honey, I just jump right in at any time. I just go for it. And whatever your interest is, and I always tell my ladies and gentlemen, you always have to put a reins on me and keep me in control. So there is a way to do it. The reason I like tarot cards is the beauty of them, the complexity of the questions you couldn't be asking, something maybe I wouldn't ask every day. So anybody that can control the tarot cards in that, it will prompt a thought in your mind, and you get an answer. I think it's wonderful. The last time I checked was maybe a year and a half ago, over 350 cards, decks rather. I have one lady that uses round ones of ocean and dolphins. It's fabulous. So my favorite is the Morgan, the original, and the Voyager deck. So absolutely, voice of reason, have fun. I think you're kind of like a cotton ball. You're almost maybe a little too sensitive. Okay. Oh, hello. There is a gentleman online, the Lone Ghost Man. I wonder if this is a gentleman, too. I don't know. Sal, so nice to see you on there. The voice of reason, hello. I love tarot. That's great. And I do, too. And some of it's just because it's gosh darn pretty. But anyway, I want to get back to what I was speaking to before of learning to be more intuitive. Now, you can always go back and download. I know I talk a little quick just because I feel like I have an encyclopedia in my brain just about all the psychic stuff, which I have a couple of encyclopedias on my shelf over there. But I also caution. I realized when I first started reading and I was learning to control, you have to set upon yourself the reason you want to do this. Because I have found with the best intent that we get so excited we want to capture and conquer all. And I did. My gosh, you know that show on TV called The Ghost Whisperer? I had people taking over me. I was headed to San Francisco with a friend, and I wasn't driving. I was, thank goodness, as a passenger. And the next thing I know, there's a canoe with a man in it swimming inside of the boat car with us. I mean, I've had experiences. I have to write a book just on that. So if you have a time to create your intent, remember to practice, follow your hunches. When you get the hunch, pull it into your body. See if you can get more of it to get an answer. And then with that, you have to practice every day. Then with that, I said it earlier, and I'll say it again, you have to know where you're going. Because just be psychic opens too many doors, and you could spread yourself very, very thin. If you want anything at all, you set an area of expertise. I know a gal that only dreams at night, just like the gal on Medium, Ruth in Auburn, California. I have another gal that just does animals. So there are areas that people like that they will just do. I'm trying to think. There was a gal who just does babies, and she does massage and readings of just children. Oh, golly, golly. I think that's also Sacramento, California. But anyhow, I got into it and just mostly did everything I liked. It was a few years later that I really focused on animals. And then when I got very comfortable with who I was in my own skin, I accepted and dwelled more into mediumship. When I first started doing readings in May of 1990, I would see orbs and I saw bubbles. In the middle of June 6, 1990, I was directed by spirit to go to a cemetery, and I clearly at that time started seeing spirits very, very strongly, but I didn't know who they belonged to. So it takes people in steps. Now, for those of you who are mediums, now remember, you can be psychic and not a medium, but most all mediums are psychic. If you are overwhelmed by spirit people, they will know it. Spirit people told me once I'm like a lighthouse. Can you imagine that beacon just going out and out and out all the time? Well, I have a lot of energy, and I, for you people tonight, I did have a cup of coffee, so I'm really wound up. And I suspect we'll have lots of people around us, and you, because they will know that we're connected. I don't think I've made mistakes. I had a gal the other day call me, and I said, I don't know if you that prompted this. I think it was your grandmother, and I described this woman, and she went, oh. So that's that. So if you are a medium, you need to also control their presence. Remember the movie Ghost with Whoopi Goldberg, who won an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress, and she sat there pretending to be a medium, and the spirit people huddled around, also one jumped in her, and that can happen. That happened to me, and I wouldn't allow it anymore, and it happened 3 or 4 times in front of people. And channeling is okay as long as it's not a full presentation. So you have to declare what your limitations are. So if you want, I can do a show just on mediumship, but tonight it's psychic ability. As you practice and as you get into it, then you have to declare what you want to do with it and declare the hours you want to spend to doing it. People will find out you're a reader, and I've had lots of people call me and say, now what do I do? People are taking advantage of me. Remember, I said, declare what you want with this. If you want to be a psychic reader for all your girlfriends and your family, let it just be what it is. But if you want to control and you want better, then you have to either charge for your time or delegate a window of time that you'll do it for friends. The minute you feel taken advantage of, then you've got to set your rates. Because if it's important enough for you to take your personal time from your family and friends, then it's worth your time to be charged. That's really hard. That was really hard for me to start doing because I was working full-time with the telephone company as an engineering supervisor, and I averaged 60 hours a week. And then I'd come home every night and work, and then Saturday, Sunday. So in the middle of June, 4 weeks after I started, from that first night, I was getting readings, people calling me. So I really covered a lot with you tonight, and I know I went really quick, but there's only about 6 steps. So if you go back and download those first parts, that is the most simplified version of the 10-week class that I taught. In fact, I could even do another one. There are so many fun things that you can do to trust your instincts. I taught a class in Carmichael, California for a real estate group. And the idea was is that if you're in real estate and you can intuit what your client really needs, you can have a better sell because you would be more attuned to the needs of whoever has the power in the family, and you would intuit that. but also the style, what they really would like. So one of the ways we did it was a crayon and paper. And you'd have your eyes closed, those lights would be out, and you just crayon it. And you would make a design. And then you would pass the paper to the person next to you or across the table. And they would intuit your unconscious thoughts. Another thing to do would be melt candles over paper. And so the wax, with your eyes closed, you can't see what you're doing, you're dropping so the candle wax would leave a pattern that someone learning to be intuitive would pick up your unconscious thoughts. Another thing with paper that I thought was really fun was to crunch up paper, boom, 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 or fold it, or tear it, your choice. And then you would pass it to somebody in the group. And they would try to read what you were trying to present as a picture, or a thought, or an action. So any of those three that you would like to do with some girlfriends, you know, just two or three, four of you, it's very, very fun to learn to be intuit. Remember the movie Poltergeist? Well, the second one, when they've moved out of the neighborhood, and that sweet little thing that died after Poltergeist 3 or 4, and she was with Grandma, and they were eating breakfast. And Grandma had been kneading the yarn. And she said, go in there and pull out the red yarn. And she did. So here's another one that you can try. Felt paper. Go to Michael's or fabric store. And that wonderfully thick felt paper that comes with all the colors. Pick the 8 true colors. Put little squares, inch by inch, two inch by two inch, whatever size you like. Put them in a paper bag so you can't see it. And then decide on a color and see if you can intuit the density of color. In the universe, one of the ways I read people, I read on a lot of different levels, I'm so grateful I can, is by the density of the energy the person has around the body. So if I said the highest level of density is moody, broody, anger, frustration, or some kind of intense feeling, well, the same with a rainbow. It's the same with color. The denser the color, the denser the energy to make it. So if you can intuit red and black or deep blue versus white or pale yellow, if you could pull that out and start learning what that's about, then your fingertips for reading psychometry or photographs would be very accelerated. So I've given you kind of like 4 different ways to practice being intuit and have as much fun as possible. If you want to become a medium, we should practice, maybe I should talk about that in a different show. So here it is, 8:30, and I hope we have a lot of visitors tonight. That'd be a lot of fun. The number to call in, and I hope you have your pencil, 347-205-9071. So if you have a comment about being psychic or you have a psychic question, and I'm very close to my brand new monitor, so I can see real clearly, and it's so fun, the chat room. You girls are in all these different colors. Mediumship, can't control my dreams. You know, the thing is about Pisces, I'm just going to answer a couple things I'm seeing real quick. Asking one short sentence at going to bed at night will help you control your dreams. One of the best books out there, and there's so many, of course I have my favorites, was called Lucid Dreaming. L-U-C-I-D, dreaming. What it means is write a sentence on a piece of paper. If you get the dream and you are in the dream, try to raise your hands. If you can raise your hands and see your hands in a dream, then you've controlled it. Arthur Ford, Eileen Garrett were wonderful dreamers. The trouble with dreaming, and I do dream, but very rarely, the idea is that there's no calendar, no time clock, or a map of the United States or wherever you live in the dreams. That's the hardest thing to do. So if you have dreams and you're consistently, then if you do have a dream and you've had it once and you need to know more, write a question about the dream. Put it on your bed and then write it down and look at it before you go to bed. And for some reason, writing it down and putting it right there right next to you kind of reinforces your mind to think about it. I think that's the only way. Jen, I really do believe that you're a medium, not just a psychic. Because I feel like your mediumship, you're picking up the energy of those living and those who have passed away around you. And it's clearly I do suffer with all of that. You need to calm down and understand that if you have an emotion and feeling that is not yours, you need to discern if it's a friend or foe, wrap their energy around you, or a spirit person. That's really hard to understand. We can cover that in another show. It just takes a lot of practice. And when I'm around a spirit a lot, it feels different than when I'm a psychic. I can feel myself going to somebody versus somebody pressing against me. So then I know that the emotion I'm getting is with me or outside of me. Okay? Karen says, I don't want visitors at night. Well, spirit people are just like us. They have their own agenda, their own thing to do. If you say you don't want anybody around you at night, you have to declare that and say, leave me alone. They cannot go where they're not invited. And you may not believe that. Even poltergeist activity is on some level an invited process. So we have to be open to all that, okay? Karen, I dream all the time, several dreams at night. The other night, I dreamt about how to teleport. I don't remember, but I was getting instructions from him. Nothing surprises me anymore. Oh, boy, you know the beam me up, Scotty. That's part of our future. Even though scientists don't know how to do it, doesn't mean that we don't create a way to do it. I think we're so limited in our knowledge. It was like I was looking at the space station when I was only a few minutes before the show started, and I was just so awestruck, yet the feeling of antiquated technology flooded my mind. It's like eventually we'll put our minds up there and visit people. It's just, yeah, maybe. Jen says she has lots of people around and feels them. They just have to be quiet and not to touch you. Absolutely, Jen, just what I just said. Pisces lady, Jen, you are, I love these kids. They just write back and forth. And I do believe that hereditary people talk to me about, everybody in the family has a gift. Do I? Of course you do. Everybody has a gift, and I believe it goes all the way back to caveman. How in the world were they able to survive if they didn't know where to hunt for the animal or to know when to run because someone was coming around the corner? I really believe that was part of our makeup. I think animals all have the gift. Even today, I think they do. They know who's driving up the driveway. If it's not even shown to them, they can't hear it. Well, I think their hearing's really good. But they seem to know when it's not safe or not. I see that in my own animals. Voice of Reason, I have a beautiful deck. I just love playing with it. You know, there's something to that. It's like I was saying one time during a show, I can read a string of numbers. Marilyn, who passed away, Marilyn Crow out of Sacramento, North Island she lived in, she told me one night, she said, just give a pay her deck and I'll tell you what each of them stands for. I think it's been so long since I've used them, versus red, represents a male. And for some reason, some of the things I do remember, and even if I don't remember, I can still read a deck of cards if someone asks me. It's not my first choice. But I'm just amazed. I think if you're psychic, it just takes a visual anything to trigger a thought and a question. That's why I like the Voyager so much. Just pulling up here, see if there's some questions I missed. Jen says, I'm not connected with my tarot cards. I think that if you try to read the tarot cards and perhaps remember what the tarot card stands for, you may not be intuiting what the picture is representing to you. So that's how you do it. Okay, wow, you girls have really been busy typing and pulled this down. I think I might have missed some questions just going along. Someone's thinking about, if someone has thought of that, please write this in. Karen says, I believe my dog's very gifted. He can anticipate my mood whether or not it is a walk in the morning. Wow. You know, that's just what I said. Annette, she uses a tarot card as a focus. Absolutely. Remember I said there's nothing wrong with using tarots. I think they're a wonderful tool to trigger a thought. See Annette just say what I was telling the over the microphone here. She, even if it's different than what the card, say pull a card, they turn a card over, she may get a hit different than what the card is saying, because the picture itself triggered a thought. Okay. I want to give a plug to Ghost Trackers tonight, and if you're interested to look at their website, ghosttrackers.com, I'll be working with them in October. I'll be giving mini readings. I'm going to help with the ghost busting, and I think I'm going to do group readings, a seance. So that might be fun if you're available the 11th and 12th to go to Sutter and do a ghost busting. Okay, and Sybil's on. Oh, hello, all. Jen said, I was having chest pains lately. I went to cardiologist and nothing's wrong with me. I think I'm picking up on my cat who's dead, died of a heart attack. Oh, my gosh. You know, I've actually heard of that happening. I was going to say that our dogs and cats, I interrupted, another thought came to me and I didn't finish something. Our animals do know when we're ill. How many times have you heard people say I'm ill, and even though you're not on the couch laying, the dog will our cat will hug you. And I really believe that our animals can take on our illness. As far as Jen being upset and thinking it was her heart attack and then found the dog, I kind of feel like you are what we call a shallow breather, and you carry stress in your upper body. And it feels like your chest walls get very tight at times. So I think you have a couple of things going on here, but nothing. Remember, I'm not a doctor unless it's a diagnosis. I think you're just exceptionally healthy. As far as your cat dying of a heart attack and then you picking that up, I think it's a stress that you're suffering, not necessarily what you're picking up. Okay? Okay. Sybil just said, I got a new computer and have to download the chat window. I've had some interesting problems with Blog Talk Radio, as much as I've loved it. Do, if you lose sound or have a problem, hit on your keyboard F5. Also, if you're wanting to get on the show in the chat room, call in early. Even though I went to listen to the show that I had a delay of 5 minutes, they do pick it up and start it pretty quick. I couldn't get in. All circuits were busy. Oh, wait a minute. Was that what it said? No, it said all lines are... It was said something where I couldn't get in, and the little mechanical woman said, please try again, and I couldn't get into my own show. So there is, so Jen does say, yes, I have breathing problems, and I am a stress breather. Well, that's just what I said. Okay. So anyhow, Annette also had a little plug of something she thought maybe Jen would like to know. Pisces lady, I had a cat that acted crazy while I was in labor. Of course, Pisces lady, if you're in labor, if you're at the hospital and the dog's going crazy, absolutely can pick up. If you're in the house going crazy, of course, the dog would go crazy. But I really do believe our animals already know. And how many times have you heard, now we're not sure about the smell of cancer, but how many times have you heard that the animal can pick up an illness in the body of the owner? So I think that there's something to do with aromas. Is cancer a funny smell? The years I had cancer, they said it was my body a long time. I never remember cat, dog, horse, cat, rabbit, or quail nuzzle up against me. So I think it had to do with the animal. And most of them are very intuitive. That's what I just said, Jen. The animal is very in tune to the energy of its master. And then you add the living and the death. There's a movie that's coming out. My mind just went blank. And Pretty Woman. What's that guy with the pretty gray hair? You'd think I would remember his name. But he's going to be in the movie coming out. And it's about a man who has a dog, passes away, and the story is of the dog, how the dog stays at the restaurant and said that every day when the man should have gotten off work and been ready to pick up the dog's there sitting waiting for it. So the dog intuitively always knew what time the master would get off work and would always go to that place. Yeah, Richard Greer. Oh, Annette, thank you very much. How could I forget his name? Oh, honey. he's quite a hunk. He's in the movie with the dog. So you've heard of these stories. My husband gets off work of golf, and the dog seemed to know just minutes before he will show up. If it's a routine time, they will know. So they'll wait anxiously waiting. And this Richard Greer, and I think it's a movie just coming out this month, about his owning a dog, and I believe he might pass away later in the movie, and the dog continues waiting for him. and that I love you, he's party. Yes, we women, don't we like it? Maybe he was still coming to pick up the dog up. Oh, cute, Karen. I love you on that one. Pisces, I met him online once. Yes, even celebrities, those in the public eye, like to be on Blog Talk, who knows, online, just to be part of the communal, the networking world. Oh, Sybil. And then Sybil has a dog that has his own mind and lives his own life. Okay, so here's another one. Remember, people on TV, there's two or three incidences, one dog and two cats in a convalescent hospital. And one of them would know about 4 hours before someone passed away and would go to that room. And so the nurses would pay attention to that cat in the facility. And I thought I saw, because that story came out, then there was a cat and then there was a dog. So I do believe that that does happen. I was on the phone. I am back. Sorry. Oh, you're on the phone. Yes, that's happened a couple of times when just before I started tonight, before I ran outside, I got a call and had to tell her I was going to be on a show. And Sal is Stanley Hotel. So I want to tell Sal that when he promotes his hotel, it's not Stanley, it's Shanley, because there could be some confusion. The S-T, but his is S-H-A-N-L-E-Y, Hotel. Okay, so we do have a few minutes. No one's calling in. If you've got questions, let me know. If you have psychic interest, is there something you want to know about being psychic? Absolutely, absolutely. I wanted to mention, and I'll go back because we have a minute, and I am reading this, the perception of people's energy. Didn't know how this worked, and I knew that was part of me went somewhere else. And it was always fun to do a psychic fair, which I can't do very often now because I live such a distance. And maybe it's a good thing because I am clearly investigating other avenues that will interest you when we get on board, Karen and I, for one. Karen, hypnotist. She and I are embarking on a new adventure that will be very exciting. So you'll hear more about that. But life force, everybody's life force is sweet different. And with that comes a language in the life force. So if I said to you, how many of you have felt the energy of somebody around you and you knew who it was? I can feel when my daughter thinks of me. I have a sense when my mother was in trouble. And I know my sister will be listening to this. And I called my mother, and instead of thinking that perhaps she was in the bathroom taking a shower, I called back in an hour until I didn't get her, and immediately turned around and called my sister. And my sister then followed up, and clearly she was at the hospital. There was a knowing. And I think that we can reach out and touch somebody with our life force and vice versa, and there is a pattern in our life force. And if I said to you, when you touch and want to read somebody, some people are unreadable only because they are protective of themselves. Even even their inside person and their super unconscious person, which I call the deepest of the soul level, are secretive. They don't wish to be shared. Then there's other people I've met who are just so easy to read. It's like reading a book of their life. And everything in between has a pattern of readability. Jen says, I always feel the energy of others, and that goes with living and non-living people. It's almost amazing to me as I read some of these questions, they're talking about all kinds of energy things, and people who only download don't know what I'm reading here. I'm always fascinated. In fact, I was thinking, or maybe I had a conversation with someone today, the joke of the universe, how come we don't know that we're all alive, whether we're in our body or out? And Karen and I had a talk about this also today, that once you get past the idea that we do survive, then what? How about the ones who have survived death but who decide they don't like being dead and they want to be part of living and they cannot give it up? So amazing to think that we have so many avenues of spirit investigation, spirit rescue, spirit cleaning, soul retrieval, soul healing. This world of the metaphysics and the psychic realm is so truly exciting. Karen, I have a client who brings her grandmother into the relaxation with her hypnosis. I think she is supervising us to make sure I won't mix her up her mind. Grandmother's energy is definable. Definitely definable. Absolutely. Remember I said that everybody's energy is a little different, and if grandma was a strong, assertive, no nonsense, don't get in my face as a live person, she isn't going to change when she goes to be a flesh, a spirit person. Jen says she's going to start healing and aligning her chakras. There is such a thing as chakras. In fact, I even wanted to, on my nancymats.com, started to make a chakra energy that is a pure color. And the idea is everything on the planet is alive, and whatever you're low in, I don't know if I agree with chakras being on certain parts of the body, but it could align with that particular color. You unconsciously will align yourself with a color for the energy it will give you. So the next time, ladies and gentlemen, you're not in a good mood, you wake up and you're not feeling well or you're tired, kind of pay attention to what you've picked to wear that day, whether it be black, red, or blue versus a pale or white, beige or white. The energy you get from clothing is the same as you'll get from stones, chakra colors. So if you find yourself attracted to what I call merkelite, versus a ruby versus an emerald, it will be because that energy, remember it's different from every color, is the energy that you need for that day. I clearly believe in that. What do I have on tonight? Oh, I have a white shirt with the United States flag going across it, so I have red, white, and blue. I am very patriotic. I have a USA with a flag, so no particular color. I've had a cup of coffee, so it's all I have. It's all I can do just to sit down here. Jen says I'm a highly anxious person. Yeah, you might be a little more anxious than most people. I think you have a lot of nervous energy, just like me. I was born with this. So I'm kind of like always busy. Hi, lady. I hate my keyboard. Well, needless to say, don't put the hate on the keyboard because the other day I was pretty frustrated with trying to get into the chat room. But I kind of believe that energy is collective. And a psychic person later on can always feel accumulation of a blob of negative energy. Sybil has to go for the evening. She has something to do with the daughter. Good night, Sybil. Nice to see you tonight. Jen says, yes, I'm very nervous and goofy. I love goofy. You'll never be boring. Sybil, thank you very much. You know, this is so amazing. I hope I can tell you enough. I had a girlfriend say, you know, Nancy, you got too much information. You just spew it out. How can people even listen? That's what's wonderful about Blog Talk. You can go back and write the questions down. How wonderful is that? I should probably say I do have a couple books out. The one that does give a short chapter, but it's very thorough, just what I called tonight, what you heard on me from me tonight, is Two Worlds, Developing Your Psychic Skills. So you can call me up or email me that you want a book, and we'll pass it through to mail each other. If you go through Amazon, you get a little cheaper, but then I have to mail the book out to them, and then they turn right around and send it back. The other book I wrote is Help, Get Me Out of This Funk. And the little lady that I wrote the book on was a young woman who seemed to have a cartwheel life, in one job, out of the job, in one relationship, out of the relationship. And it was just kind of she couldn't quite grasp. And so that book is on how to focus, why we get there, and how angel people help us to get out of it. So it's a very both these are not real big books. I promise the next three will have will be more, but not heavy duty reading. Karen and I are looking at putting a book together, and I think I'm going to start. I've been writing all three of them. I'm going to put more emphasis on ghost calls and spirits. Who's your resident ghost? So that seems to be really popular right now from the shows I'm seeing. The other thing I need to, Karen says, what was that cemetery where you had the spirit people encounter the one at such a site? Seems so quiet. The cemetery, there was two of them. I was at the Spirit of Grace where I became a spiritual minister, and that was on Auburn Boulevard, and the cemetery there was called the Sylvan Cemetery. The one on May 4th, 1990, when I started, that the spirit people had me go and find Lucille, who died on the same day, May 4th. That was the middle of June, and that was a Fair Oaks cemetery on King Avenue. And Lucille passed away on the day I came into Spirit of Grace Church for the first time. And Camille had called me and said, I want to take you to cemetery so you can get a picture of Spook. And of course, I wasn't into that. And we got there, and I saw a lady in a flapper outfit, and she said, "There's a lady over there who needs your help." And she directed me to the lady, and I thought I should sit down and say a prayer for her. And the spirit people said, "By the way, we brought you here for a reason. Why don't you get up and look at the stone?" And they insinuated, I wasn't very bright to not notice in the first place why they brought me there. And the reason what they did is they had found a lady who passed away on the day that I entered the Spirit of Grace, May 4th. And Lucille, and I can't give her name on TV, but I could if you want to look her up. They directed me to her grave site, and she had died May 4th of the same year. So 1 month and 1 week later, I was told to go to the cemetery of Camille, but they had told Camille to bring me, and they had directed me to a new grave, and the woman had died on the very day that I entered the Spirit of Grace. So that was the Fair Oaks Cemetery, and that was Lucille. If you want to know her last name, I'll give it if you call, if you want to go visit her. I'm sure she'd be up to it. And that's how this all started. They wanted me to know that they survived. And the other thing I'd like to know, Pisces, I skipped your letters. The keyboard won't pick up all the keystrokes. You need to get another keyboard. I just had a toss one for that reason. The other thing I want to mention is I found my art books. Most of you may not be aware, but I am an artist, and I've done some paintings. My father was an artist for Universal Studios. And he was killed in 1955 at 33 years old. And in those days, they didn't have the great photography we do now. And so the young starlets and actors would have their portraits done, and they'd be hung in the hallways of Universal Studios. And that's what my father did for a living. So he was a portrait artist. And then my mother married him, and she became a portrait artist. That's what they had in common with their wonderful gifts. And I've got my paper out, and I'm going to start drawing. And Karen and I talked about this, and I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to start drawing the spirit people as I see them around you when I do readings. Now, it may have to put a little charge up because I'll have to finish it after we hang up, but I'm very clearly going to get back into that. I had someone ask me to do this a few months back, and you know, you have to get to a place where you start practicing and you get comfortable with showing artwork. So I'm going to be doing some art drawings, and there'll be a spirit people. So it's something that can be very fun to look at. And if you're interested, let me know. Let's see. Okay. Oh, Pisces Lady, I thought the ghost had carried off Sal, and he's back. Okay. Jen, thank you. I'm going to do the drawings. I'm very good at it. Like I said, I'm a portrait artist, and people had asked me, a gentleman asked me, his name was Gary, and he had come to see me in Tombstone, and I started describing somebody that he knew in high school, and I gave a lot of detail, and he looked at me and he says, "Are you an artist?" And I had not put the two and two together. That could be why I was good at drafting when I first got into engineering, is because I am an artist. I have what they call the eye, and I do like detail. So an artistic background and an engineering background, I think that's why I can see clearer. When I described the man to Gary in Tombstone, I gave a lot of detail, and it's just like he'd sit there so still just so I could see him so clearly. So naturally I wanted to draw, but I felt insecure. I think we have to draw for a while and get comfortable. Then you can show the work to everybody. Okay, Sal says, "I have a group that want to come to the hotel." Great. Start that process. I think this is the time to be interested. When I was trying to decide, Jen said, "I've heard of angel drawings before." Absolutely. I'm talking about spirit family. I will draw these people as they were alive, as they will wish me to describe to you. So it's a little different. The angel drawings I've done before, it's very hard because it's almost like when I look at angels, they're luminous. They're not always solidly formed, but a spirit person will very tightly try to control their look so I can get it clear. Okay, so where was I with Sal? I was saying that it's amazing to me how the interest from the paranormal groups that we see on TV to all the hotels, Tombstone here is getting very popular again. And I was trying to struggle with the dating book because I am clearly the queen of dating relationship issues. Probably half of my clientele just on that. But the interest of survival, even with Iraq, they just didn't celebrate, but they just acknowledged the 4,000th person to lose his life, her life overseas. And I think that right now, with all the issues of the world, the thing that we do is turn inward. And we start now, says, are we happy? Starting to be happy with this or with the family or with our life. And that thought process takes us to survival. So we're going to see a huge turn, more so even to spiritualism. And I'm not positive my audience knows that I'm a spiritualist minister. I was ordained in the Church of the Living God. And that's directly down from the Fox Sisters up in New York State that started the National Association of America. I think that's right, National Association. I belong to Universal Christ of the Master. That was in Citrus Heights, and they are still there. Chapel of the Pines, actually was part of their group for many years. That's in Auburn, California. And the lady that ordained me, Reverend Judy Fisher, out of Florida, was the Church of the Living God. So it's a very interesting organization. Jen said, I think he means real people wanting to visit his haunted hotel. That's what I said. Absolutely get a group together because the word gets out. And once you have one group and they can have a sense of immortality, meaning it's one thing to be scared by ghosts or do a ghost busting. It's another thing to leave there saying, oh my gosh, I really felt something. That's the benefit of having an investigation because then you have personal truth. That increases the value and excitement of life. When I was giving 6 years of cemetery tours in the old city Sacramento cemetery, Broadway and 10th Street in Sacramento, more than one person came to me. I mean, dozens and dozens over the years. In fact, that's where I met Char, who is the organizer of California Haunts. In fact, she does her own radio show I made reference to earlier. She said, I remember going there, Nancy, and I remember you helping people feel spirit people by putting their hand into the essence of one, turn a lot of people's lives around. And that's why I think I stayed in it. If anything out of this, if I can help you live your life to the fullest by knowing that we survived, I would absolutely say to you, pull memories in. As when you become a spirit person, you have those memories to fall back on to remember and enjoy, because that's why we live, is to pull those memories of life to us. And it says, the Ghostbusters are coming, the Ghostbusters are coming. And Ed, I don't know if you're part of Sal's group, but absolutely, Ghostbusters versus just Investigator. Either way, everybody should get involved in that part of the world. Just very, very exciting. Karen Hypnotist, I remember the Fox Sisters. I read about them in a textbook in a class I had on spiritualism as movement. The Fox Sisters were the sisters that did a rap for A, two raps for B, and communicated with a spirit person. Karen, did you go to the cemetery tours? My mother's house was, oh, yeah, the cemetery tours. What a scream. I don't know if you did or not. You let me know. I did certainly a lot of them, only with the passing of John Betancourt, the curator of the cemetery, did I stop. I stopped going. The one thing we didn't bring up, and remember, we talked about psychic ability, and we should do mediumship or ghost investigation on another show, is that picture taking. If you were to take a picture of somebody doing readings, I think you might get energy around the person. It'd be fun to look at, just like an aura photography. We're talking about energy and controlling energy. If you go to a fair, you have a chance to do investigation. Not only take a picture of the air of the space of the person you hope to have a picture of, like a spirit person, you can also take a picture of the medium doing the touring, because oftentimes you'll see the energy of them in very unusual ways. Karen's house said, my mother's house was haunted as we grew up. Loved to flush the toilets and play pool in the middle of the night. Sal at the Stanley Hotel says the same thing. How, you know, that's something to think of. Then we're talking poltergeist activity. Poltergeist versus, remember the movie Ghost when Patrick Swayze in the tunnel learned how to kick a can? It takes a lot of energy. But it also takes a lot of energy for spirit people to accumulate enough of life force to do that also. So they get it from electricity, but they also can get it from the family, especially if there's children. They kind of like pull it to themselves, and then they do things like playing pool in the middle of the night. And F says, I grew up in a haunted house also. He likes, oh, the show is almost over. I got 53 seconds left. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I've loved tonight. Let me see if I can hurry up. Teasing the children in the house, absolutely. So anyway, only got 30 seconds left. I've really enjoyed the show tonight. I always do. And we didn't have any callers. Show is on, but not streaming. So I look forward to seeing you next week. And thank you very much, everybody, for coming in tonight.